Listen to the London Jazz Festival on the Fabric.
Vendredi soir, Londres, un Friday night dans la ville des Lumières, la ville qui dort jamais, Londres, le parfait berceau pour des jeunes talents, les explorateurs d'aujourd'hui, les jasmins de demain. Ce soir, de 18h à la Fabrique et au Roy Jazz Falls, en plein centre dans le quartier Soho, avec nous, deux mecs, deux créateurs, deux explorateurs, deux jazzmen, Moses Boyd à la batterie et Binker Golding à la ténor sax. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Ah, il parle français.
Voilà. Bonsoir. Hein,
c'est... On peut continuer comme ça.
Più o meno, in Italian.
So, you're safe, you're in Switzerland, so you know, three languages. So your first album, Them Ones, which stands for...
It's like a slang. It's an inner city phrase that you'd say to sort of acknowledge something else. But
an example of a sentence.
Just got a clamp on my car and I can't afford it. Ah, oh, Them Ones, Them Ones. Yeah. It's like, oh, right. Oh, I can't, you know, oh, okay.
So this album came out this year in May with the Gearbox Records label.
Yes, sure.
Correct. Okay. And it was distributed in vinyl since, you know, the market is rising and it's also good if it forces the listener to stay somewhere and sit and listen to the music, which is what you want, right? And how do you come up with this idea, and do you have many record players at home?
I only have one record player, which is more than enough for me. I'd like to get another one, actually, maybe just some. But how did we come up with that idea? Well, actually, it's more the label's idea, more of Gearbox Records' idea, is that they like to print things on vinyl and have digital download as well. And we found that idea appealing. We just thought it was a good idea. We like that. We like those formats, particularly the vinyl.
And so it was more a suggestion then?
Yeah, it was more a
suggestion. Like, no, I want to do that right now.
It was more of a suggestion. Yeah, exactly. We felt it was right for us at that time, and they were interested in working with us. And we took a look at them and tried to get a feel for what they did, and we thought they looked like a good record label that would do good things for us, and they have done.
Them Ones is a masterpiece that is evolving from performance to performance and certainly getting better and better every time. So what would you like to say to those poor folks who got the record earlier this year? Should they get free concerts?
I would give them free concerts. Yeah, we like to think that the record, or the material from the record, evolves every concert that we do, and we take it a bit further and disfigure it a bit more. That's the idea behind what we do live. You know, in a perfect world, I would give all of it away for free. I'd give the record out for free, you know, or anything. You know, I want to make people happy from our music, and ultimately I don't really want to charge people for it. But however, I've got six kids to feed, so... I don't really.
Six.
I don't really have any kids, but I have to feed myself, and there's all sorts of bills. And living in London is just terrifically expensive. It's ridiculously expensive. So unfortunately, we can't give the record or the concerts away for free. But we do when we can. And we've done concerts for free when we can afford to do it. It's not like we're turning up and not doing anything. You know, we sweat a lot on this gig, so. So we sometimes have to make people pay to watch us sweat.
Nice.
It works very well in that accent. Yeah, it does, yeah. We don't see any musical input as useless. There's always a use for something, but we just wanted to do something different and get rid of a lot of things. Not things that we didn't think we needed, but we wanted to put ourselves in a difficult position, and this ensemble does that. It puts us in a very hard position. I think occasionally, sometimes people turn up to the performances and they say, oh, that, you know, it looks very natural and it looks very easy or whatever. And it's natural, but it's not easy. Like, it's at no point.
Who say that?
Some people, yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, it looks very, you make it look easy. I'm like, oh, do we? You know, I'm like, come off the stage, I'm drenched in sweat. I'm like, that looks easy to you? Oh, okay.
Which other duets do you think that will be feasible? Like, other instrument that would be nice to have, which is also beautiful and essential, you know? Because drums is good because it's a rhythm, okay? And sax will be like a guitar, piano, and voice all together, let's say.
I think like quite a kind of heavy electric, like rock guitar and drums, I think would be good. Mm. Like sort of Jimi Hendrix sounding guitar and drums. I'd like to hear that.
And a bass and a voice?
I'm not sure.
See, piano and saxophone, that's quite cool. Mm. But it's not as heavy, so it's not.
Yeah. It's an interesting,
something to explore.
Interesting question, yeah. Mm.
Passage, kind of a bridge to get into jazz and you know this kind of high quality instrumental music.
Say so maybe the Miles Davis album Bitches Brew, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I think that's a kind of good one.
And something contemporary.
I mean, for me, I would say one of my sort of favorite people is like a Madlib. He's a producer and a musician, a hip hop producer. But hip hop is kind of downplaying what he does. But he's purely a sampler. The good thing about him is, if you listen to the music he's sampling, it's all from the jazz and sort of funk and soul aesthetic. So you listen to his music and you realise, oh, that sounds like a trumpet, that sounds like this. And when you start to trace the records he's sampling from, you get such a wide, wide scope of music to even try and find and listen to, as well as hearing what he does with it. And it's still kind of within that sort of improvisation tradition of like Miles Davis and, you know, the people we like, John Coltrane, but in a more contemporary way. Other than that, I would say Miles Davis too, because everybody played with Miles, and you just check out that family tree and you can get a lot of information from it.
You're talking about mixing music. With Exodus, you do something like that, right?
Yes.
So Exodus was your first album?
Yeah,
so
I've done
tell
a couple
more.
Okay. So Exodus, we have two EPs out. The album's not out yet, but it's been done. The EPs are on Bandcamp and SoundCloud and whatnot. But it's kind of a combination of all I do as a musician, a producer, a drummer, and a composer. So it's kind of all put together. I write the music, I mix the tracks, I produce the tracks, and then it's out for the audience to listen to. And then we perform it live. It's a mixture. We're trying to get to a mixture of acoustic as well as electronic, and still improvised, still hip-hop elements, still production elements, still jazz elements. But yeah, that's how I'd explain it.
I heard you played piano.
No, this is not piano. This is dream. It's all I do is dream. Oh, man, I got a million dreams. It's all I do is dream.
And do you have any solo project, or you work, of course, with other groups? Tell us more.
Tell us more. Well, the most interesting ensemble that I work with is definitely Zara's one. Outside of our ones that we have, obviously, Binkronizers is the most interesting ensemble that I work in. But outside of that, solo project-wise, the main thing I'm doing at the moment, actually, is I write classical music myself, and I'm looking to finish a whole album's worth of classical chamber music and just record it myself and release it myself, because I don't think, you know, I mean, how lucky can you get, you know, to get an album like that signed? So I'm probably just going to do it myself.
And technically, do you use a piano to compose it?
I like to compose at the piano. I sometimes do it in my head. I can do it in my head, but I like the acoustic feel of the piano. And in music, they have this funny term called overtones, which is funny little sounds, very high-pitched sounds that are kind of very difficult to listen, very difficult to hear, unless you're really, really listening very closely to an instrument. And you can't really imagine overtones in your head, but an instrument will give them to you, a piano will give them to you. And when you compose at the piano, you can always hear something in the sound of the instrument that you wouldn't really be able to hear in your head, or at least I can't anyway.
So how many instruments do you have at home?
Oh, not that many. About three or four saxophones, a flute, which I can't play, a piano, an old guitar, which I can't play as well. I think that's it. Harmonica as well.
Do you have just one drum set or so many drum sets?
I have only about two drum sets actually. One that just stays in the house and one that stays in its cases, so when I need to gig, you know, it's just easy to put in my car. But then I have like a bass, which I can't play. I've got guitars, which I can't play.
Your collection is
here. I know, right?
It's just always have crap in the house and they have can't do anything with.
But then I have loads of like electronic gear samplers and, you know.
Do you have a djembe?
I don't have.
Oh, no.
No,
no,
no. No, I don't, you know.
Shame.
Shame on you.
I know.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much. This is all for now. La Fabrique will find you soon in the venue. And vous pouvez retrouver les chroniques, la critique et l'interview avec Moses Boyd et Winkel Golding sous lafabrique.ch. À très bientôt.
Merci.
You can follow the London Jazz Festival on www.lafabrique.ch.